With most things in life, there is usually more to what we see than what meets our eye, leaving us to our own meaningful interpretations and our own beautiful stories. When it comes to art, Greg's is no exception. We all see ourselves, our loved ones, our pains, our triumphs, and our hearts in these paintings. From Greg's studio to our living rooms, these images take on new and different meaning with each wall they hang on and each life they touch. Now, Greg invites you to take a glimpse behind the curtain into his own stories and inspirations of his art. Because just like us, these creations have a deeper story to tell. And if we let them, we'll find that they have the power to be healing, inspiring, and awakening.
Hi, Kylie.
Hi, Dad.
Nice to see you.
Nice to see you, too. It's me and you. We're here, yeah. End of a week. There's a ding on my computer. We're off to a great start. Happy Friday.
Yeah.
We wanted to have Mom here. We tried to drag her into this podcast, but she was not hyped on that idea.
She's avoiding us. But we are going to talk about a piece that is something that you played a part in, right? This is when you were how old? 2, 3?
Yeah, it's a painting called Precious in His Sight.
Yeah, it's Jesus with a little child on his lap, and he's extending his arm, and on the end of his finger is a butterfly. And this piece came about, started with a phone call from Sid. We should have her here to talk about it. But I got a phone call in the studio one day, and it was from Sid, my wife. And she said, she was at the grocery store shopping, and she said, Greg, I'm here in produce, and there's a guy who looks just like Jesus. And so, anyway, within a few minutes, Sid was on the doorstep of the studio with this bewildered gentleman, and he was gracious enough to consent to pose for me.
And so, like, within 20 minutes, she brought home scraggly bearded man, had her 2-year-old daughter sitting on his lap.
Yeah, that's kind of how it happened. We didn't really have anything planned. It just kind of, he was a very gentle person and very, you know, good with kids. And you kind of took to him right off the bat, sat on his lap and talked to you. And it was just a very natural thing. We ended up becoming great friends with this fellow. And, you know, we spent a lot of time together. And he was a great inspiration.
Yeah.
Heaven's kind of smiling on us when that happens.
Heaven's smiling on us, which is, I think, one of the reasons why this is one of my favorite paintings, as we mentioned.
No, it's because you're in it.
Well, that's a given. I think we mentioned this in the As I Have Loved You episode last time, but that the symbol of a butterfly would be something at the time you weren't aware of, but that would be something later on you would end up incorporating in a lot of your paintings, is like a little nod to Grandma, because that was what she said she would kind of use as a little wink after she passed away.
Yeah.
And so the symbol that the butterfly is in this painting being the whole kind of focal point of it, I think, is endearing.
Yeah, it is something special for that reason. And also, I think it's been a great symbol throughout history. I mean, it's a symbol of rebirth, of transformation. I like to imagine in this painting maybe Jesus using the butterfly as a little visual aid to talk about that subject, about transformation, about new life, about progress, about, you know, what it is that's inside of us that helps create our destiny, what it is that we're destined to become. And you think about a little butterfly, how it starts out, these homely little caterpillars. Sometimes I think, you know, do they ever have any idea of what it is that they're destined to become? You know, they're basically a little worm with legs, and then this amazing transformation takes place as they go into this chrysalis, and somehow, miraculously, they emerge as these exquisite little creatures with wings. They can fly, they're colorful, they're amazing little creations. And I think that's also a metaphor for us. Now, sometimes we think of the butterfly as a symbol of what it is we're destined to become in the next life. But I think even if a person doesn't have a belief in, say, an afterlife, it's still a great symbol of transformation. I mean, for the butterfly, it happens here and now in its life and mortality. And I think as human beings, I mean, we have that opportunity. Sure, maybe, hopefully, you know, the next life is better and we're more refined and elegant and beautiful physically and spiritually and all of those things. But I've witnessed some amazing transformations in individuals right here. Sometimes, you know, we focus on the worst in humanity. We see it on the news all the time. But I suspect most of us can point to individuals who've somehow transcended that. Mm-hmm.
Our brains have been trained to pull out the negatives in situations and in people. And when you realize that there's so much beauty and majesty inside each person, I think it gives you a lot of grace for strangers and also yourself.
Yeah.
If you can remember that.
Yeah, I think that is divine part of you that recognizes that divine part in me. And it feels like we're coming home. It feels so refreshing. And I think we almost get homesick for that. We may not even know what it is, but when we feel it, we're drawn to that. And I like what you said. I think everybody has that inside of them, whatever that is. It's a commonality. And for some of us, we bury it very deep. And it almost feels like, you know, it couldn't possibly be in there somewhere. But I think it is. And I think it's worth our efforts to view that in each other. And we'll experience each other in a totally different way when that happens.
And also that it's a never-ending process, right? Like,
yeah.
Think how many versions of Greg you've lived since you were born. Like, you're 60 years old now, and you didn't just peel back a few layers and then hit the gemstone. Like, you peel it back and you discover something new and more divine than you realized, and then life throws you new experiences and a new phase, and you get the chance over and over and over again to shed those layers and blossom. And then there's more, and I think rather than seeing it as confining and restricting and this cocoon that holds us back, I think we have to constantly reevaluate our paradigm of how we're seeing that metaphor in our lives of being the caterpillar in the cocoon. Like, it's a constant opportunity where we kind of get squeezed through these new experiences and then get to reveal this new really beautiful component of ourselves. Like, there's not just one grand revelation at the end of our life. Like, if we learn to accept it as the caterpillar is part of the beauty, right? It's not like this less than means to an end to get to the butterfly. The caterpillar is a really beautiful, endearing, fuzzy, warm, cozy. Like, there are a lot of positive aspects to being the butterfly. And the fact that as humans, we get the chance to be the caterpillar and the butterfly over and over and over and over again. If you choose to see it as daunting, that's like really overwhelming to think of being on this planet for 85 years and doing that over and over again.
Yeah.
But there's also a really cool side to it. We're constantly on the precipice of blossoming into this even more beautiful creature.
Right. Yeah, as you said, for most of us, it's not, I found it! You know, there I am, I've awakened, I'm a new creature.
Oh, I felt that before, though.
Oh, yeah, you think it's, yeah, whoop, I did it! There it is, I found it! And that's me now, I get it. But that seems to be one of the purposes of Earth life, is just teaching us over and over again. You know, when we think we've got it, Earth life lines up some little situations that shake us a little bit and make us reevaluate and say, oh, yeah, there's another little layer that I laid over the top of that. But that's okay. It's just being aware of it and throwing it back again.
And assuming that they're all going to be challenges or curveballs is, again, just one facet of the experience, right? Like, the layers are not always challenges or heartaches or pains. Sometimes the layers are really beautiful experiences, like really meaningful, beautiful, whether it's like a birth, you witness a bit, like really amazing moments where you get to tap into the core and the essence of us, right? Like a lot of it can be good too.
Yeah, but the trick with that is sometimes we think that that event or that environment or that situation is it. It feels so good and we want to hold on to that forever. But it too will, you know, meander on its way.
No one can see you, but you just fleeted your hand like yeah, a little like butterfly.
Yeah, it flits like, away. Again, and, you know, you're kind of grasping for, hey, come back here. But and it always comes back to what's inside of us. It's not an event. It's not a thing. It's not, it's just the journey. It's the flight. And I think the saddest thing is when I observe in myself or in others the tendency to view ourselves only as that homely little caterpillar, you know, where this is me. You know, we look at ourselves in the mirror or we compare ourselves to someone else who already seems to have wings and they're flying around. We are often so hard on ourselves. And it's easy to do that. It's easy to beat ourselves up and forget what our real unlimited potential is. We just have to remind ourselves when we're feeling like little caterpillars that that's not the whole story.
Even though I like the caterpillar.
I do like caterpillars too. Nothing wrong with caterpillars.
I love the little caterpillar. Oh man. Well, just a little food for thought on a Friday.
Food for thought on a Friday.
With a couple of freaks.
Yes. That are flitting around.
Oh, gosh. Let's stop now.
Yes, let's
stop. Put these poor people out of their misery. All right. I love you, Dad.
Love you, Kylie.
Bye.
See ya.